I want you to pull out your Bibles and I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. And if you're using a paper Bible, you can turn to two books. You can go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 1. But we're gonna be in just a continuation of the series that we started weeks ago, even before Easter. We started the series called Preeminent. And I've been talking about Jesus. He's my favorite topic. We're talking about Jesus because he's our Savior, he's our Lord, he's our God, and we love him. And there's just, you cannot exaggerate who Jesus is and his importance in our lives. And so we've been talking about Jesus as the preeminent one, the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, the resurrected one. Last week we talked about Jesus being the King of Kings, and this week we're going to continue on and talk about Jesus, our prophet. And so if you take notes, go ahead and write that down. Jesus, our prophet. And I don't want to start off too much with too much complaining. But how many of us are frustrated with the reliability of the information we have access to in our world? Right? How do you even know what to trust and what you can count on and who's behind it and what are their ulterior motives and what is the sources? And it just becomes so frustrating. I just forget about it. I just want to flush it all and just say, never mind. So this is where we're going to pick up in this series today is Jesus, our prophet, because we need a reliable source of information. A reliable source of information. And in Hebrews chapter 1, starting right off in the very first verse of the book, he jumps in and he says this. You can read in verse 1 with me. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Now, if you are familiar with the Bible, there's different sections of the Bible. The first five books are the law, and then it gets into history and near the end of the Old Testament, there are a section called the prophets. And the prophets, some of them are considered minor, some are considered major, and that's only because of the amount that they wrote. And these were people that God used to speak to, predominantly, mostly, to the Israelites, but in general, to all of humanity. And so God, as the writer of Hebrews starts off, he says, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, and that's not even limited to, the prophets isn't even limited to those who wrote books contained in the Bible, but there were other prophets. Abraham, the first prophet mentioned in the Bible, didn't write a book, but he spoke out for God. And Moses was a prophet. Moses is responsible for the first five books of the Bible and the law, the recording of the law. And so this is God's people speaking forth from him, the prophets. And he says here, this is how God spoke to our forefathers, our fathers, by the prophets. You know, and a couple of those major prophets, those who were with the longest books, Daniel was one of them. How many have ever read the book of Daniel before? Okay, a lot of it reads like a story because it's a lot of Daniel's story. But Daniel records prophecies given to him or accounts of what was going to happen to David that span world powers, leaders, governments, and just with incredible accuracy from Daniel's point of view, all in the future. What was going to happen in the world as far as this political power and that political power and great detail of leaders and all that. Daniel had insider vision of those things. And all of that was future for Daniel at his time. As we stand in 2023, a lot of what Daniel prophesied was now past for us, and we're able to verify a lot of what he said. But there was a lot that Daniel said that is still future tense for us. And with the same accuracy of the fulfillment of the past, we can look forward to the fulfillment in the future. So Daniel, including all of that, Isaiah was another one of the major prophets. Isaiah spoke a lot about and prophetically about the Christ, about the Messiah, and how Jesus would come and fulfill these prophecies. And again, all from Isaiah's point of view, all future tense. From our point of view, we can look back and say, yes, Isaiah's prophecies were perfectly fulfilled in Christ, in his first coming, and with great accuracy, we can look back and say, Isaiah had an incredible prophetic vision about Jesus. Past tense for us. A lot of what Isaiah spoke and prophesied of is still future tense for us. And so that was some of the ways that the prophets spoke in times past, speaking about what would be, what would come, what God was doing, God's call to the people of Israel to repent, to return to him, and to all of humanity to pay attention that God is speaking into the world. That's what the job of the prophets was, to speak out from God what God was doing and what he wanted proclaimed, and the prophets did that. And second, and it's not on the screen, but listen to the 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It says, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So in real ways, the Holy Spirit worked in the writers of the Bible, the books of the Bibles, the accurate word of God. And that's how God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. But let's continue in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. He says this, things changed, and we need to know what that change was. In verse 2, he says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So what does he say? What did he just say? He just said, hey, in times past, the Lord spoke to us through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. As Jesus comes into the world, he's God's Son. And then he says, most incredibly, through whom also he created the world. So let me just put this out there. It won't be a surprise if you're following the series, but Jesus is the preeminent prophet. And preeminent meaning above all, first, foremost, surpassing all others, very distinguished, towering above. Jesus is the ultimate, final prophet. He's the preeminent prophet. Verse 3, Hebrews 1 verse 3 says this. He says, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Now, we could just meditate on those couple of verses, but I'm not going to leave it there. I'm going to give you too many to handle. So if you are taking notes today, I want you to write down some of these passages of Scripture that I'm going to give us today and use them as your reading plan this week, just to think about, meditate what God is saying to you. Because Jesus came to proclaim what God was saying to us. He's the preeminent prophet. And I'll take you to Colossians chapter 1 next. Colossians chapter 1, we read it last week. We're going to read it again right now. Chapter 1, verse 16, 17, and 18. This is what he says. He says, for by him, speaking of Jesus, for by Jesus all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Jesus, the one that we cannot exaggerate, the preeminent one, the all-sufficient one, surpassing all others. Jesus is the preeminent prophet for several reasons. I want to talk about them. And the reason why I'm talking about these and the way that I'm going to unfold this is because of how I started. We need reliable information in our lives. We need to know what is real and what is fake. We need to know what is true and what is false. And if we don't have that, then we are adrift in our lives. And I see this especially in our young people, a lot of fear and anxiety because of situations in the world. And that really makes me angry. Because there is a peace that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. There is a foundation of a relationship in Jesus Christ. There is an identity that we have in Jesus Christ that we desperately need. So much of the content that we can consume, when I say content, I don't mean news, but it includes news, right? Content, we don't get news anymore. We get content. And content is designed to move you in a direction. I don't need moved by content. I need rooted by truth. And so Jesus is the only one. He is the one, the preeminent one. And he holds it all together. Jesus is the preeminent prophet for several reasons. Number one, the Old Testament prophet spoke from God. Jesus speaks as God. So when we come to the scriptures, these 66 books of the Bible, this library of God's words to us, all of it being influenced and spoken to mankind through the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus speaks as one with authority. And we might think that Jesus only speaks about the issues of faith. How many have ever had someone say to you, or maybe you said, well, I'm not really a religious person, and so I don't. And then so that implies I'm really not interested in what Jesus had to say because I'm not a religious person. Here's what we need to know about Jesus. He's way bigger than religion. He's perfectly accurate when it comes to religion, but there's so much more. There's so much more. In fact, you're probably familiar with the phrase, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. How many have ever heard that before, right? I was speaking to a friend of mine who is not a Christian, he thinks he's far from the Lord, but I think the Lord is closer to him than he thinks. And so he's gone through some trouble, and I was sitting there explaining to him, and I said, it's not about a religion, and he finished the sentence for me. He says, it's about relationship. I know. But that's true, and it's bigger than religion. Jesus is bigger than the relationship too, and we're going to get into some stuff that I geek out about. John and I were just talking about this beforehand. It says I've got all kind of notes, I've got all kind of verses. I don't know what I'm going to throw at you in what order because I've got more stuff to say than I can say in the amount of time. So I get really geeked out about some of the stuff I'm about to talk to you, and you probably aren't as interested as I am. So I'm going to try and keep it tight. But here's what the Bible also tells us about Jesus, the preeminent one. And it's this: Jesus spoke all things into existence. Now, that's going to be a little difficult to wrap our minds around because our mind is a small part of all that's in existence. So, that's a little bit difficult, but that's what the Scripture pours out for us. And if you will just indulge me for a moment, going back to Easter, my Easter message, because Jesus rose from the dead, that's the ultimate credential. And so I realize, and some people say, well, you're just quoting the Bible, and some people don't take the Bible as an authoritative source. I understand that. But Jesus rose from the dead. Dig into it. Because the one who rose from the dead has the creds to state what he wants to state and the trustworthiness to do what he has said. And so the scripture comes with that authority, and Jesus spoke all of it into existence. In the verses we read in Hebrews, in verse 2, he says, through whom also he created the world. In verse 3, he says about Jesus, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. In the Colossians passage, verse 16, we read, by him all things were created. And verse 17, in him all things hold together. Now, as I go into this next area of thought and theology, I want you to think about the prophets of old spoke for God. They wrote for God, but there was a declaration, there was a proclamation, there was a, you know, this speaking out. And as Jesus is the ultimate prophet, the preeminent prophet, he also speaks and proclaims as God. So he proclaims, he has command over creation. In Genesis, we're not going to go into all these verses, but in Genesis chapter 1, records this phrase, and God said. So there is a proclamation of information, a command issued in Genesis over and over and over again that says, God said in chapter 1, verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, 14, 20, 24, and 26, records that God said, and then what God said was. These accounts in Genesis, how many have ever geeked out about the first couple chapters of Genesis and just the creation of the world, and just, it's dense. It's dense information contained in a few verses, creating and showing that God created the entire universe. It's a lot of fun to get into. A lot of controversy as well. That's okay. We're good for that. But listen to what he says here specifically in verse 3. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and this is the first, and God said, and God said, let there be light, and there was, what? Light. God said, let it be, and it was. Now, this is where I'm going to give you a pass, because I'm going to talk about some things that I don't know. And how many of you know that you should never talk about things you don't know? But I have a theory. I'm one of those guys that think that as literally as I can when it comes to Scripture, I think when God says, let there be light, that it actually happened because God said, let it be. And I think that in those very few words is a very condensed launching of all of reality in the physical world. I see in those words, let there be light, let there be all electromagnetic radiation. Let there be the energy and the source of all matter. That God's speaking into existence from nothing, everything that we know in the physical world. Either by decree or by substance, the word of Jesus created all things. That's what we read in Hebrews. That's what we read in Colossians. That's what we read in Genesis. God speaks it into being. Yeah, God is good. He's powerful. I've been watching a lot of testimonies of scientists who have reached the end of their particular areas of study and have not found the meaning of or life or the creation where life begins. Right? So you can go all the way down the rabbit holes of all areas of science, and you're eventually going to hit a wall that says, I don't know how we really got here. I was listening to a biochemist, Dr. Cy Gart, speak about this. He was an atheist. He was raised by atheists, generations of atheists, went into biochemistry and eventually came to the place where he decided, you know what, I don't know how life began. There's no answer in science on how we got here. And God began to open him up, and he eventually became a Christian, realizing that God is the one who created all things. I guess there's a lot you could take away from what I just said, but here's one of the biggest things I hope you take away, is that in this world of proclaiming fear, we need to know that God speaks peace and that he is in command over our physical world. It tells us that he sustains it. Not only has he spoken it into existence, but he has command over it, sustaining it. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, Peter, in just one verse, wraps the whole thing up for us by saying this. He says, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. Don't let anybody get you worked up about the end of the world. Jesus has this. I think we see within these few verses of Genesis, we see the beginning of cosmology, physics, biology, ecology, anthropology, all theologies. Not just about faith, not just about eschatology, or whatever other ology in the realm of faith, but of all things. And so you can geek out about that as much as you want, but I'd love to sit over coffee and talk about how God did some stuff. I don't know, I just like talking about it. I take the word of God seriously. I'm not a scientist, nor do I play one on TV. But I know what the Bible says, and it's important. It gives me a lot of peace. It gives me a lot of peace. Next, Jesus spoke the word of God into being. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, it says this, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for the training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped in every good work. That when we come to these books of the Bible, what we have is the Word of God. And if you really want to have a mind-bending verse, let me give it to you this way. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, I told you I was going to throw a lot of verses at you. Okay? But this is how John put it. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Yeah. How can I explain that? I can't. Isn't it amazing that the Word of God, we say we have these 66 books of the Bible, it's the Word of God, but we just read in John that Jesus is the Word. The Scripture says that Jesus spoke it into being, spoke it into existence. He is it. He's always been it. There is a mystery of the Scriptures that is profound, that will take you the rest of your life. As we read there, that all of Scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, and correction, and training in righteousness, Jesus also has command over morality. Our identity, our purpose, our being. In Mark chapter 13, verse 31, it's not on the screen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, Jesus says, will not pass away. Fourth and finally, Jesus is the one we can believe, trust, and obey. We see that Jesus is over the universe, creation and destruction of matter and energy. Jesus is over prophecy, proclamation, and fulfillment, which means that he's Lord over time and eternity. Jesus is in Scripture, being, writing, speaking, proclaiming truth. Jesus is also calls to us to hear his voice. The prophet of God who speaks into existence everything that we experience in the universe also speaks to you and to me. Speaking to us through the Word, the Scriptures, speaking to us by His Spirit. I'm going to give you one final verse, and then I'll be done. I won't be done, but I'll stop. In John chapter 18, Jesus is having a conversation with Pilate. Now, Pilate, he was really trying to, what was Pilate doing? He was trying not to condemn Jesus. Jesus' life, as Pilate saw it, was in his hands. And so he's having a conversation with Jesus about who he was. And this is what Jesus said in verse 37 and 38, just part of the conversation. He says, Jesus says this. He says, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." And this is the part that should keep us paying attention. He says this. Jesus says, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate rebuffed and he said, "What is truth?" Now, we're going to talk about a couple more things over the next couple of weeks that Jesus is preeminent in. But today, I want you to know that Jesus speaks and he's speaking to you. And he's speaking to you about your life. And who you are, and your identity, and your purpose, and your meaning in this world. And he wants you to trust him. He wants you to believe in him. He wants you to obey him. And my prayer, in these very short moments that we've shared today, is that you will come to a place of trusting who Jesus is, what he has said, and place your life under his command. You see, Jesus has command over all creation, except he's sectioned off human beings, which is weird to me. But he's given you a free will. A power to decide. The atoms of the universe did not get to decide. The molecules, the arrangements, the laws of physics, spoken into instantaneous obedience. Mankind, he gives us a choice. I hope we choose to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your Son, for Jesus. I thank you that you are in control, that you have command over our universe. You have command over your words proclaimed to mankind. You have command over your way of receiving us back, reconciling us to you. Lord, all that remains is for us to come and lay our lives down and say, yes, I believe you. I trust you. I'll follow you. I'll obey you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to give us a moment, everyone listening or online in this place, Lord, just a moment of coming to Christ. If you will, just to acknowledge who he is, to accept what he's done, to turn and allow him to lead us. We surrender to you, Lord Jesus. All to you. You're our God. You're our King. You're the one who created us. Lead us, Lord, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.